Well, hello there to the people of Cheshire. This is Jonathan Starkey, your absolutely fabulous and ridiculously talented, as always, digital pub landlord of that digital pub called Cheshire Matters. Now, I'm very glad that we have in today, we have Mr. Mark Hartley, Statsman. Say hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are we?
So you didn't have to repeat it exactly.
I wanted to. How are you today? All right?
Feeling very, very good. The sun is out.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Okay. And the raven is not here.
He's flying around the countryside.
Oh, well, yes. And did you notice that we had to mute him?
Again. We didn't have to. Well, yeah,
we did it anyway. Yeah. Right. Well, we're back for part two, the final part of Magna Carta.
Oh, yes.
And just as a quick summary from the last part that we did, we went through the history of English law.
We did.
Which you did a very good job of, sir.
Thank you.
What brought about Magna Carta, what it stood for, and some of the articles.
Yes.
Now, in this summary, because obviously your editor...
Thanks.
You said some of the articles. Actually, there were a lot of articles that we discussed.
Yeah, we didn't have time to go through them all, to be honest.
The one I liked the best was combat.
I know.
You know, if they could just only bring that back.
Sadly, it's missing from the government's new proposal.
Decision by combat. So we just, take away our allegiance to the Queen and we just decide that we're actually going to go for it in combat.
It'd be nice to see Boris and Keir Starmer jousting, wouldn't it?
Jousting? Well, it'd be like, one slug after another, Come here.
Wouldn't be much entertainment, would it?
It'd be like if everybody was watching it in ultra HD, it would be slow-mo.
Oh, no, hang on. Did we see Keir Starmer on the punch bag, didn't we, once?
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In fact, yeah.
No,
let's make this happen.
No, that it... Well, he's actually trying at the moment not to be so boring.
Sorry. Wow.
Well, if
that's your problem, I think maybe.
Well, who's
different career?
Who's he going to be getting coaching lessons from?
No, don't be boring.
Is it going to be South Park?
Don't be boring. I'll just go through all the people in the Labour Party quickly in my head. Oh dear.
No, nobody there. No. Actually, Angela Rayner is quite good in Prime Minister's Questions.
Well, she's far from boring, isn't she?
No, she's far from boring. And that other guy, who I think is probably going to be the next leader, is Wes Streeting.
Mm.
No enthusiasm there. None
whatsoever.
I'll
be honest, I think he's probably better than Keir.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
he's less boring anyway.
He's less boring. He's willing to call it as it is, as far as he's concerned.
Yes.
No, and I should ask next time I see our glorious MP, Justin Madders of Ellesmere Port, next time at Portcullis, I should ask him, who does he think the next leader of the Labour Party is going to be?
Ask him why he's not having a go.
Well, do you know what? He wouldn't want it.
It's a poison chalice.
It's a poisoned chalice. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what your chances are. It's a poisoned chalice. Just as it is a poisoned chalice for Boris right now.
Yes.
Especially when Lord Gait has disappeared.
Bye-bye.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, I thought we were supposed to be talking about Magna Carta. And we're actually drifting off into what's actually going on.
Shall we
at the
talk
moment.
About Magna Carta?
Magna Carta, okay. Yes.
Bit of a jump. But
yeah, go on, sir.
So I think we discussed mostly the 2015 version, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which is the best one.
Yeah. I like all that trial by combat.
Yeah.
I like the idea of chopping people's heads off. Could we do that?
I don't know. We're not allowed anymore.
Well, they've still got all the equipment in London.
Have they still got it?
Yeah, they've got those places.
Well, if they've still got it, maybe it can make a comeback. I don't
know. The Bloody Tower.
Well, I think we definitely need the tower back.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to need a bigger tower.
Well, we need to expand Traitor's Gate.
Going to need a bigger gate.
Yeah, much bigger gate. Does Magna Carta cover that?
Oh, damn. Well, I'll go through it again, but I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, so... Did the 2015, I keep doing this, don't I?
No, don't worry.
Did the 2015 version hold up? It didn't really have the effect we were led to believe initially, and it was totally ignored, to be honest. And then war broke out between the king and the barons. Funny thing is Rome, because we were in allegiance with Rome at the time.
Yep.
They saw this as some kind of religious war, obviously. They're all about religion, because the church and the monarchy were so massively intertwined. So we'll tell the story. So the French Prince Louis, son of the King Philip of France, he came and invaded England on the side of the barons. John was getting a bit of grief here, you see. But then John died.
Oh, did everybody go, ah, yes. Because I don't think anybody liked him, really.
He didn't
well, his
really
mother,
like Louis,
his
either,
mother
to be
must
honest.
Have loved him.
Someone's got to.
Maybe she hated him as well. Maybe she was in touch with Louis. She got on the phone and she said, are you coming?
Possibly.
Are you coming? We need to get rid of this kid.
Now, Louis was proclaimed king. But the problem for Louis was, and the barons, is he wasn't actually crowned the king. But I think to be king, you are proclaimed.
Yeah.
So he's claiming to be the king. But then you had the opposite party who were loyal to John the king, who wanted his 9-year-old son, Henry, to be the king. So they crowned him in Gloucester because obviously Louis held London, so they couldn't get to the crown and all that stuff.
Okay.
So that's what he did. So you can make your mind up who was king at the time. But William the Marshal, he was the Earl of Pembrokeshire, and he was a knight. He was a trusted, loyal friend of the king.
So which one?
John. So he was heading the council, and so he was basically looking after the young king, so he was kind of in charge. So it was kind of up to him then to go and beat Louis and get the crown back.
Well, it wouldn't have been hard to beat the French.
But the problem was the barons were on the side of Louis, so this is why they reissued Magna Carta again in 1216.
I say that because it wouldn't have been hard to beat them at the time.
I don't know.
They weren't...
They did beat them eventually, but...
Yeah, they weren't that powerful.
I'm not sure the French were that keen. I think it was more something Louis wanted to go and do. So
okay.
Like, well, go on then, off you pop. So this is why then William the Marshal, he reissued Magna Carta in 1216.
Right. Any amendments?
Quite a few, actually. Well, this was mostly done to try and regain back some of the loyalty of the barons, who've obviously gone over to Louis, but there were some things removed. So they were trying to wrestle some of the control back to the monarchy. So it went down from 63 clauses to 42.
Okay.
So conveniently, the things that were omitted would have limited the power of the monarchy to raise money for war. So here's the famous clause, that was 61. And this is the famous lawful rebellion chapter, which ensures if the charter is broken or someone's rights infringed, then 25 barons are to seek redress. And if unsuccessful, said officials' castles and land and possessions could have been seized until the issue was resolved. So basically, this permitted the barons to engage in war with the king. And you notice another clause that went missing.
Wow.
Was the interest on Jews. So
some lobbying must have gone on.
Well, the Jews were helping him fund wars. So that had to disappear.
Okay.
He didn't want the barons turning on him. So he made that one disappear. So 1216 tried its best to define feudal law, and it claimed all emissions were postponed. But sadly, John, they were never replaced.
Oh, okay.
So I smell a rat with that one. So there is actually, there's a great debate.
Sorry, what's Boris Johnson got to do with any of this?
I don't know, was he around then? It's like history repeating itself.
Yeah.
So there's still now, and there's a great debate over whether repeal of the 1215 version is allowed, and there's definitely precedent in law to argue the case that it isn't allowed, meaning that the 1215 version would still be valid. Trial by combat.
That's my favourite one. I like that. I like that.
So it depends which way you look at this, really. And it clearly explains in one of the remaining clauses that in English statute law today, which is one of the four remaining clauses, says that nothing should infringe on the charter.
Nothing at all?
No.
So what's happening? Why is it being infringed upon now then?
Exactly. So if this is valued as the piece of constitutional documentation that it is, then it should be in its full form.
Because there are things from early on that are still enforced today.
Yeah.
Set to EK?
Yes.
1666 or something like that. It was probably another podcast there, but...
Oh, we got plenty more of this to go. We'll go through it all.
So this is 1216 again, just to remind people who are listening.
Yeah, this is the 1216 version. There's one original Magna Carta 1216, that's in Durham Cathedral. See, this one didn't have the king's
stamp
on it.
And it's open for public viewing?
Oh, I'd need to check on that one. I think so, yeah. I think
it's got to
be.
It's
It will be if it's in the cathedral.
Yeah.
There's a bit of debate over this one, though, because they're normally stamped by the king and by Rome. But this one's stamped by William the Marshal and Rome, because the king's only 9 or 10, you see. So there's debate whether this one's legitimate or not, but it was reissued then.
So he would be like a Lord Protector, really, wouldn't he?
Pretty much. He was probably the safest pair of hands to take over the job at the time.
Okay.
And we'll go on to how he did. So 1217, Louis is defeated. and he returns to France.
Au revoir, Louis.
Yes, au revoir. Cheerio, Louis.
Bon voyage.
And another version of Magna Carta is reissued, and everyone just pretends it didn't happen. Louis renounces the fact. He says, no, I wasn't king. And then everybody, all the barons and everyone who's witnessed it and signed it over, they all pretend that he wasn't king too, and we just all pretend that this
didn't
happen.
So it was a nice little public relations gesture. No.
It was.
We didn't try to be king of England. It never happened.
Well, Henry III was quite clever. So, I mean, I know he was only young, but it was probably William the Marshal and stuff, but they didn't really, they made friends kind of with Louis at the end, and it was, you know, it wasn't as messy as it could have been. So he was allowed to toddle off back to France. And
because they're all related
the
in one way or another.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. So there's four originals of the 1217. That's in Bodleian Library, if that's how you say it. In
Bodleian.
Oxford. Bodleian. 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 Oh, what a ladida. That's a song. Yeah. Anyway, it's in that library in Oxford. The last I heard, that's where they were. I did hear one of them went out on display to, I think it was Hereford Cathedral, somewhere like that. But
Hereford? Why would anybody go to Hereford?
I don't know why these things aren't out on display.
We're going to get loads
time.
Of people turning around and saying, what's wrong with Hereford?
Oh, don't upset Hereford. It's the SAS, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry. I take that all back.
Brilliant place. Now, I just don't understand why four of them have to be in a library and one goes out on viewing now. Can't they just get them all out?
Why don't we just scan them all? They're all scanned, aren't they?
Oh, there's copies of the originals all over the blooming place, but these are the originals. They should be on show.
I want to scan
part
them.
Of our history.
I want to get the latest one. Mm-hmm. I want to put Trial by Combat back in as number
1215 version. All the other versions are redundant anyway.
So the updated ones are redundant?
Well, according to the first one, it can't be altered.
Ah,
can it? So,
good point.
You know,
good
it's
point.
A bit of a minefield, but. Yeah, well, a few things were actually added to this one, like widow's rights and difficult cases to be heard by bench judges and a mutual responsibility to keep the peace. Do you think we discussed that actually last time, didn't we?
Yeah. We're not much.
Similar.
Not much. Yeah, we did actually mention it. Say it's your duty to report any crimes.
Yeah, so this is similar. So it's everybody needs to just, whoa there, keep the peace. Be nice, wouldn't it? Well, in an ideal world. Everyone was feeling very patriotic again and more English, and the monarch actually started using English names, but the barons and the bishops, they still kind of had Henry under their spell, as it had been from when he was a child. Then the Pope gave the go-ahead for the young king to reissue Magna Carta again in 1225 with only minor changes. Sadly, after this comes carnage, to be honest, in English history, and Magna Carta really doesn't hold up very well at all.
Hmm.
Yes.
Why is that? Where's the carnage?
Oh, we'll go through this
now. Lots of
fights. Well, the king marries Eleanor, who basically fleeces him, sends all the money abroad to her family, funding wars and all kinds of stuff. And
well, isn't that just the same as what's happening now? All the money's going abroad.
It was all going well until he got married. It's a pattern. Boris. Anyway. So, there's another pattern. Discontent grows towards the monarchy. Could swap that for the government. Anyway, and in 1263, London rebelled as the barons again lost their influence. But this time it sadly escalated into a civil war between royalist forces and a group of barons led by Simon de Montfort.
I like that Simon de Montfort.
Do you know about him, yeah?
Yeah, I like him.
Well, once victorious, he took the king and his son prisoner.
Yep, that's good.
Well, I know we're talking about the constitution and how important that is, but as well as documents, we've got figures like Stephen Langton. He was the central figure in the baronial unrest. He advised that the charter must be founded on the coronation charter of Henry I. And people like Simon de Montfort, they've influenced the process massively.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at de Montfort, if you look back at it, he totally reformed government. And he created an entirely new system, similar to what we have today, where there was a monarch, there was the parliament. It was a system of government, and fundamental principle was being consent.
Okay.
So although...
Which is being abused at the moment.
Although he was turned on eventually by the monarch, you can see where a lot of what we've got today.
He was
came
turned
from.
On by the monarch, or he was he turns on the monarch.
You know what I mean. But no, in 1265, he summoned a parliament in Westminster. Here we go. This is the start of it. Of barons, bishops, two knights from each shire, and even representatives from the local boroughs and towns.
So a big meeting, a meeting of minds. To actually discuss what's going on.
Like Parliament, yeah. As I just said, it was the equivalent of a modern state with a written constitution, a king, a leading minister, and now a parliament, including representatives.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It does, yeah. But back then, people didn't really see it like that, John, and they believed it was the tyranny again of Simon de Montfort, so they pushed for the return of the crown.
Oh, I didn't really see Simon de Montfort as a tyrant. I saw him as somebody who was trying to, you know, rejuvenate and revise.
But put yourself on the other side, if you were a royalist, what would you see? He's trying to overthrow the monarch, isn't he?
Well, I'd see him as Satan.
Exactly, he's got them in, he's tucked them prisoner, so depends where your allegiances lie, you know?
Well, if I were the people being actually put in the tower, you know, held prisoner, I'd be saying, well, you're not a bad fella, really. You know, I'll revise my thinking of your character, sir.
Yes. So we need a hero again from the royal side to take it back. So enter Prince Edward. And he was Longshanks.
Edward Longshanks. We know that now. That guy was something else.
Well, he didn't mess around. I think he escaped from imprisonment. And then eventually there was a battle and he chopped up Simon de Montfort. And that was in the Battle of Evesham.
You know, he was all cut up, Simon, about this. He was. He was really
cut up. He was in pieces, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in bits.
He just went to pieces.
So, yeah, they didn't mess around with him. He was gone. Puff, off you pop. So, yeah. So Edward became King Edward I in 1273. Now, this guy was a warrior king.
I like those.
He was, yeah. And
I mean, I'm saying I like any of them. I like Simon de Montfort, and he's just actually put pay to him.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, now England's got a settled system, so it left the king to go off and do some invading of countries, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, what we're famous for. So Edward he entered his version of Magna Carta into statute law in 1297.
Do you know what? Have you noticed that there are quite big gaps for these, yeah, you know, revised amendments to these things? I mean, if you look in Parliament now, I mean, they're amending things daily.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and they're having the 10-minute, you know, rule to actually get certain things passed through.
It depends, though, doesn't it? If they want to lock us all down for 2 years over a scary virus, then they can get it done like this.
Well, it just happens.
But
you
when
know,
they want to deport
criminals, did you hear that click?
Yeah, it's an echo. But when they want to deport criminals, it can't be done like that, can it?
No.
No, when you want to leave Brexit, it can't be done like that either, can it?
No.
Is that echo?
Clickety click.
It's amazing what they can get done when they really want to.
Oh, yeah, they can just push anything through that they want.
When lefty lawyers are crying,
yeah,
about feelings. Anyway, so...
Did that plane take off the other night?
Nope.
Oh.
Last I heard, nope.
How many people were on
it? We talked on the podcast about there being 11, then it went down to 7, and I don't even think it left, because the last video I saw, the runway lights went off, and the plane was still sat on it, and the airport just closed.
This wouldn't have happened under Magna Carta.
No. Trial by combat. Get that plane in the air or else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been any of those people being held in Peckham.
Well, to be honest
with you. Well, the immigration officials.
No, it wouldn't be happening, would it?
No, not at all.
No. So this version of 1297 is a version we actually find now in legislation on the government website, or what's left of it, with only 4 chapters remaining. So then we get Edward invading Wales, Scotland. This is what I mean about carnage. The Hundred Years' War, the Peasants' Revolt, Civil Wars, Edward IV. Yeah, he destroyed the barons, basically slaughtered all the great families of nobles, so that was that out the way.
So the royals are reigning supreme.
That's why we've got a bit of a gap until probably around 1600, 1700s, and then it has a revival. But yeah, the barons were slaughtered, then you had Henry VIII.
So this all goes to the point that you made, that not everything is codified, because some of these things are in different documents.
Yeah, and they were basically ignored by the monarchs. They were like, oh no, we're having power. So what was left? The remaining clauses in the 1297. So the first one was the confirmation of liberties. I think we touched on this one when I went through the articles. Again, this was about the church shall be free, etc., etc. And it also says, and to have and to hold to them and their heirs of us and our heirs forever. So forever is mentioned in these documents quite a lot.
How do you define forever?
Forever.
Yeah, but you know, we're not talking about fairy stories here. I mean, something's got to have some quantification to it.
There's documents where you can read, where you can understand the legislation, and normally the words mean what they actually mean. So forever means forever.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you go into church and you get married and, you know, it's like a forever thing.
It should be.
Oh, wait a minute.
But that's what, well, if it, I know, but it should be. That's the whole point of it, and that's what your vows and stuff you take, but then it can be broken, can't it? So,
okay, you are now out of step with 99% of all married males in this country. Hence, the forever thing married is like a prison sentence.
Why do you think I'm not married, John? I thought forever. No, no, that's not for me.
I think I'm dead.
So we move on there. The second one left is the Liberties of London. It says the City of London shall have all the old liberties and customs which it hath been used to have. Now, I didn't say that wrong. That's old English.
Is that how it said? Yeah.
Yeah. And then it says, moreover, we will and grant that all other cities, boroughs, towns, and the barons of the five ports and all other ports shall have all their liberties and free customs.
But the City of London, so from 1297, the City of London has always had a separate set of rules applied to it.
And who used to live in London?
A given.
That would have been the kings. If you can see where that was going, can't you?
Of course, and also, you know, their relations and good public relations with all different parts of the continent. Yes, I see where it's coming from.
Yeah. The third one left, which is one we touched on last time, which is a big influence on our laws. And this is the no free man shall be taken or imprisoned or deceased of his freehold. We liked that one, didn't we, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or liberties or free customs or to be outlawed or exiled or any otherwise destroyed. Nor will we not pass upon him, nor but by lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. We will sell to no man. We will not deny or defer to any man, either justice or right. So that's a biggie.
That's interesting.
That's massive.
Now, that's not true, though, today, because they abuse that.
I can give examples of that, yeah.
Yeah, it is totally abused because you have people that actually pretend powers that they don't have. Like, for example, bailiffs will try it on with people.
Yes, but if you look by lawful judgment of his peers, what does that say about family courts, magistrates, etc., etc.? You don't get a judgment by any of your peers, do you?
No, not at all. They don't even know you.
No.
They're complete, and also they're protected under privacy laws.
I don't think that's fair. I think everybody, as it says, should be under the
word. The word doesn't get applied at all. It should be transparent.
I mean, imagine if it was a big decision whether they were going to take your children away from you. I think I'd prefer 12 of my peers to make that decision than one judge.
Yeah, I'd go with you on that. You need more. You need more people involved.
You definitely do. Yeah. So we're coming to the end of the last four now. So the last one was the general saving observation of these liberties in respect of this charter and the Charter of the Forest, which was something brought out at the same time. Now, I'm just going to go to the very end because this is important. It's quite a long paragraph, but at the end it says, neither we nor our heirs shall procure or do anything whereby the liberties in this charter contained shall be infringed or broken. Now, this is what I mean before, nothing. So how can he repeal some of it if it's not meant to be infringed or broken? And then it says, and if anything be procured by any person contrary to the premise, it shall be had of no force nor effect.
So in that case then, the Magna Carta of 1297 should be inviolate.
In a way, yes. But it's actually in statute law.
Well, it's still there.
Yeah.
So why
is it? It's still
there
saying it shouldn't be infringed, but they've literally taken most of the clauses out, 59 of them out altogether.
So why is it ignored?
Exactly. I mean, obviously, some of it was a bit silly to do with knights and things like that.
Okay, yeah, but you know, that was in those times.
It could still be in there, and it could just be like, well, we haven't got any knights, so it doesn't apply to anyone.
Well, we do have knights.
You know what I mean, though? Knights that go and fight in crusades and go on combat and stuff, because a lot of it was like while they were off fighting and what happened to their property while they were away and stuff like that, you see, so.
Yeah, I get you. But those were rules applied to those issues at the time.
Yeah.
But they can be easily translatable into what's going on now, because we still have knights.
Yeah, so if Keir Starmer goes to fight in Ukraine,
We should send him,
Queen Elizabeth will look after this property for him, I think.
Of course. Yeah. We should actually do the same. We should, anybody that's been made a knight, we should say, time for you to pop off. Are you a Roman Catholic? Let's see what the Pope has to say about it, because we need to send you on a crusade somewhere. And there's quite a few knights in the Houses of Parliament that we could actually do that with. I can think of a few of them right now.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Send them off.
Who are you thinking?
Well, But only about 90% of them.
Just 90.
90% of the knights that are there. Sir Keir is at top of the list. I mean, obviously, I'm not biased against conservative, Labour, liberal. I'm not biased against that. Well, actually, I could be biased against the liberals.
Did I see Tony Blair being given some
Garter thing? Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Are they just trying to rub our nose in this now?
Indeed. Indeed. I mean,
it's like saying the worst people in society, well, some of the worst people, have an award. Have one of the top ones, in fact.
There is a complete breakdown in understanding. There is a big disconnect between those who are in power and those who are following the rules.
Massive.
As they think they should be followed. But as has been experienced in Peckham, they know that those rules can be abused.
Well, we discussed this on the podcast, didn't
we? That's right.
I think we've come to the conclusion, is there any rules anymore?
Well, you know? this is the thing. Now, these people were keen to actually establish a set of rules.
Yep.
So do you think that there should be a revision of the way that we act? I mean, as in America, they have the amendments. Should we have a set of rules that are codified that say, these are the inalienable rights of the citizens of the United Kingdom?
I'd say so. But in an ideal world, as we discussed, I think it was in the Bill of Rights special, that the wrong people are in charge to be doing this.
Oh, God, yeah.
That you never saw the Parliament. You know, it was the early days, it was people rising up, wasn't it? It was never the people in power going, oh, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. And that wasn't really how it worked. A bit different in the 1600s. It kind of was more Parliament than the barons.
Well, one of the big problems that we've got is they never envisaged in 1297 that communication between the peoples of the country, the citizens, would be as quick as it is.
No.
And how many different barons now? Because I look at the corporates as barons.
Yeah.
I look at the media as barons who are able to influence different thinking.
They just took a different form, haven't they? You know,
that's it. And I still hold to the fact that I can't say that I disagree with everything that was in Magna Carta. Obviously, joking aside, there are things that I feel that were right, and they actually set that baseline for people to work from. But it was a way to actually get it across to the people, and also a way for them to be implemented. And we're seeing now all the rules being broken by different people. When was the last time you ever saw Boris answer a straight question in Parliament?
He doesn't, and that's why I don't watch Prime Minister's questions anymore. A lot of the questions aren't questions now, they're statements. And then he stands up even when it is a question and refuses to answer.
It just becomes boo-ha politics, you know, where it's just yaboo sucks. And it doesn't really get to the answers that people are looking for. But then they will turn around and say, yes, but we're having a debate. What? A debate about what?
Do you know what? If I was the speaker, I'd just be a little bit, I'd just say, answer the question, please, Mr. Johnson. And if he didn't, I'd just get the person to keep asking the question. And you know how boring Prime Minister's questions would get, but he'd get there eventually.
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed with Lindsay Hoyle because he doesn't seem to be doing that.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, at certain times, he'll turn round to the Prime Minister and say, it is Keir Starmer that is asking the question.
Right,
you're not to ask any questions. He's asking the question. It is Prime Minister's questions. And he will say that to the Prime Minister at times, but he doesn't seem to force the issue enough.
Answering that question would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's all good and well, who asks it, but would like an answer.
Well, I don't think they would have had that opportunity in those times in 1297, because if somebody wasn't happy about not being given the information, trial by combat.
Thing with this, it's just been a constant battle and a constant struggle over hundreds of years. It's ever evolving, and now when we get to a point in history where it should be the best it is, it seems to be regressing a bit now.
Yes, there doesn't seem to be the same rules applied. And I know that we have a different way of thinking between what we know of history, what we know of what we're seeing right now, trying to correlate about what was done. Is there anything fair that we can actually apply to what's going on now?
Our constitution's been pushed to one side, and then in its place we've been given these universal human rights, which are just non-existent, are they really?
No.
Unless you're trying to avoid being deported from a country and you're a criminal, then the human rights are there for you in abundance.
So if we want to actually sum up the Magna Carta, would you say that it was a good idea or a bad idea?
I would. I'd say it was a good idea. As I just said, it's been through some tough times, 100 years of keep planting this seed for it to be ignored. But it stayed alive, didn't it? And then the core, 100 years later, I'd say it lit the cord hundreds of years later, maybe 16, 1700s, to be recognised worldwide and the symbol of rule of law. So I'd say it was pretty important.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's not always applied fairly. Sometimes, if at all. I mean, I can give examples where it's not. But without it, where would we be? I think it'd be less civilised and a lot less law. It'd be a lot more lawless, wouldn't it?
It's like saying, what did the Romans ever do for us?
I know, but
they gave us plumbing.
Yeah. But just to think, though, if some of these laws weren't around, there'd be a lot of women and children at risk.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
So I'd say it's definitely something to be proud of, and it's spoken about, as I said last time, in courtrooms across the globe.
So would you encourage the education system to do a further in-depth study of Magna Carta?
I think it should be celebrated a lot more in schools. I think it should be taught heavily along with logic and reason. Yeah. Definitely in law schools, coupled with common law as well also.
At Key Stage 3 and Key Stage 4?
Why not?
Okay.
I've already taught my son about it.
Okay.
He's probably the only one in his class who knows about it, but I could be wrong. There could be other parents doing the same, but school won't teach them about it.
Well, I want to explore the caveat, trial by combat.
Definitely.
I definitely want to see that. Well, I have to say, this has been a marvelous conversation about Magna Carta, and I'm sure that the people are going to really, really enjoy it, and I'm going to bring this to an end.
Excellent.
And I'm going to say thank you very much for your comments, sir,
and
for your research, and I think it's been a wonderful conversation.
Brilliant. I'm sure we'll be back, won't we, and we'll go through how it's evolved further.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. But for this part of the Magna Carta, we're going to end it.
All done.
Okay.
Excellent.
And I have to say, I know that there will be other people wishing to comment. And if anybody wants to say anything, remember now, we believe in trial by combat.
Yeah.
And we will dress up as crusaders and come in.
It's not cultural appropriation, is that? No.
It's
our culture.
It's our culture. Well, we're English, aren't we?
Well,
I'm English.
I'm definitely English.
With a little bit of French.
We've got to fight for that too, though, haven't we? You see?
Remember Louis, right? And also Harold.
I'm not that old. Can you remember him?
Well,
a little bit before my time, that one, but yeah.
Thank you for that, sir. Thanks for reminding me how old I am.
It's all right.
I'm not talking to him anymore.
Get these podcasts on a bit quicker.